song of the Ananti Va Brahman, Brahman. Canto 11, chapter 23. Kasmat sankhlishyate vidvan vyatarate hayasakit kasyachin mayayanunam lokoyam suvimohita. Why must an intelligent man suffer by his constant vain efforts to get wealth? Indeed, this whole world is most bewildered by someone's illusory potency. Wonder that could be. Kim danaya dhanadaya va kim kamaya va kamadaya ruta mrityuna gasya manasya karma vivota janmadaya. For one who is in the grips of death, what is the use of wealth of those who offer it? Sense gratification of those who offer it, or, for that matter, any type of fruitive activity, which simply causes one to again take birth in the material world. Nunam me bhagavans tushta.
Nunam me bhagavans tushta.
Sarva deva mayo hari.
Sarva deva mayo hari.
Yena nito dasam etam.
Yena nito dasam etam.
Nirvedas chatmana plava.
Nirvedas chatmana plava.
Nunam me bhagavans tushta.
Nunam me bhagavans tushta.
Sarva deva mayo hari.
Sarva deva mayo hari.
Yena nito dasam etam.
Yena nito dasam etam.
Nirvedas chatmana plava.
Nirvedas chatmana plava.
Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, who contains within Himself all the demigods, must be satisfied with me. Indeed, He has brought me to this suffering condition and forced me to experience detachment, which is the boat to carry me over this ocean of material life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Brahmana could understand, or Prabhupada's followers. The Brahmana could understand that the demigods who award different types of sense gratification as the result of one's fruitive activities cannot bestow the highest benefit in life. When the Brahmana lost all his property, he could understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who comprises all the demigods, had given him the perfect, the highest perfection, not by awarding sense gratification, but by saving him from the ocean of material enjoyment. But being thus deprived of the opportunity to cultivate religiosity, wealth, sense gratification, and liberation, the Brahmana became detached, and transcendental knowledge awakened within his heart. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport of text 26, 27, 28 of chapter 23, canto 11, Srimad Bhagavatam, the song of the Avanti Brahmana. Harihi Om. In the book, in the poem written by Srila Prabhupada, worshipping Krishna in Vrindavan, Vrindavane Bhajan, he also expresses that I had a wife, I had children, I had all these things in my material life, but now where are they all? Where are they all at now? Nobody has come with me. Then he said that once you don't lose your money, then all your friends and relatives, they start criticizing, and they don't care for you anymore. So actually, I'm laughing. I'm not suffering because of that. I'm laughing. That now I'm here in Vrindavan and I'm sitting worshipping Krishna. So I'm actually, I'm so much happy. Recorded that verse. Krishna takes away the wealth of his devotees sometimes. So this Avanti Brahmana has also experienced this loss. And he's taking it also as a blessing. Somehow in this material world we keep thinking that by making some plan we're going to be completely satisfied materially, but materially it never works out. To understand that actually we should spiritually try to be happy. Materially there's going to be some ups and downs. Taking those instead. Like what Chaitanya said, Karvi Swarga Utai Kabi Naraka Dubai Dhanva Jana Raja Jana Dhanva Jana Raja Jana Nodite Chubaya. It's like somebody be dunking in the river. Dunk him. Sometimes you get a breath of fresh air, sometimes you're drowning. It's like that sometimes we take birth in heavenly planets and it seems like we're having a good time. Sometimes we're in a hellish condition, suffering like anything. Actually in this earth planet, we don't get the same happiness that they have in heaven or the same suffering as hell, but sometimes little glimpses, little happiness. Hi, Bo. Welcome.
Wow. Whoa.
Sometimes we're suffering and sometimes we're enjoying. These things happen like coming of summer, coming of the winter. It was the winter here in Australia, now the spring and summer have come. Now it's mango season again. Cherries, lychees. Time to enjoy. But sometimes material nature puts forward its good side and then we think, well, maybe I can be happy after all. Then things switch again, then the winter comes and then we think, wow, material life is suffering so much. But generally we don't learn. Keep making plans and ideas of how we're going to be materially happy. If I just had a bigger house, if I just had a better car, if I just got a new television set, one of those flat plasma gigantic. Now in Singapore they show one. It's like an indoor movie. It's like, wow, it's like, I don't know, 10 feet wide or something. I'm sure some people, rich people, put that in their house and sit and watch it. It's the same movie where you see that. So anyway, like that people try to be happy. But the Avanti Brahmana, he's appreciative that somehow I got detached. Normally we're all looking for happiness in the material world, but sometimes I got detached. So it must be Krishna's special or some kind of mercy on me. Actually, the wife of Bali Maharaj said he gave special mercy that my husband took away all his pride and not the But then Bali cut in, I mean not Bali, but Ramanadev, Trivikram cut in and said, it's not the special mercy. It's the ordinary mercy. Special mercy is when they have all the opulence and they're still detached. That's special mercy. Generally we get all the opulence and then we want to enjoy more and more. But if we're obviously still detached, we want to serve Krishna in spite of having opulence. We were just talking and someone also was quoting a quote that when you achieve happiness, if you're still humble and still God conscious, that's actually the special sign. Because many times people they get happy, they get very puffed up and very proud and they forget about Krishna. And the Bhaktisiddhanta Upakant talks about the devas were losing in the battles with the demons. So then they prayed to Vishnu for help. So Vishnu helped them and gave them some extra powers. So they were able to defeat the demons. So normally, Krishna doesn't get involved in these battles. But if the devas pray to him to get involved, then he takes sides. So, because yesterday, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, we were having this question and answer period. And we were asking, well, if Krishna decides everything, what's the use of even trying? It's already preordained. I said, well, no, actually, it's not like that. Sometimes the devas have a chance to win. I mean, the demons. Vishnu just stays out of the whole thing. And but then sometimes, like the story where the Tripura Asura was fighting against the devas, defeated the devas, that they asked the help of Shiva. And Shiva killed all the Tripurasura's army. But then they came back down with their flying flying fortresses. And they were dipped into some kind of nectar and brought back to life. Vayadhanava had some pot of nectar. And they came back the next day, fired up, rejuvenated, again fighting with Shiva. So what's this? I already killed him. Now they're back again. You know, how many times are you going to kill the same people? Go on forever. So he was quite discouraged. So he went to Krishna, to Vishnu, and preached and prayed to him. So then Vishnu agreed to help. Took the form of a cow, and Brahma took the form of a calf, and they were walking in the camp of the demons. Just like some stray cows, nothing unusual, like in India, you see, eating grass. They walked over to the well of nectar and drank it all up. Oh, everything to the bottom. So when Mahidhanava saw this, said, this must be Vishnu. It's not ordinary cow. Ordinary cows can't drink a well of nectar. And so then he said, so up to now it was it's like if the umpires are neutral, okay, you got a chance. But if they're just always deciding in favor of the other team, then you discouraged. What's the point? No matter what I do, he's going to give it. Even if I don't do nothing, I'm standing alone, foul. something like that, you know, then what's the point? You get discouraged. So he said, you know, up to the time Vishnu gets involved, demons, devas, anybody has their chance. But once Vishnu takes somebody's side, that's it. Then, you know. So he quit. He said, I'm Tripura Sur, have a good day. Have a good one. Vishnu's down there, entered into that fray. You don't stand a chance. So this Mayadhanava, quite an intelligent guy, right? He knows. So that, but from that we can understand that there is a level playing, you know, whatever level. The demons have less powers than the devas. Usually they win, but sometimes the devas get it together, get some extra boost. But the idea is that people, you can win. You can, not everything is like completely ordained. Krishna lets people win according to their karma, their energy, their... It's like Bali. Sometimes the demons win, Bali won. In the Padma Purana it says how... another brother of Indra, not Bali, he defeated Indra and took over the kingdom of the devas. But Aditi also got Vamanadeva to come and help. Because he legitimately won. So, and he was very powerful. So Indra went with him. With Vamanadeva to speak to his brother. His brother was, name slips me right now. Maybe come back. So they approached, and Indra has got his own mystical powers, his very powerful personality. Bhaskar. Bhaskar Maharaj. His name was Bhaskar Maharaj. And Bhaskar Maharaj. So when Indra and Vamanadeva came to the capital, they saw that outside of the palace he had mental horses. Big head, small bodies, and they flew the speed of the mind. And he was ruling the whole universe by sending messengers all over the universe to these mental horses. You get on a horse, you just think, I want to be right now and book me to Dwarkadi's temple, and I'm like, boop, you're there. So I want to see Markandeya Rishi and Janaloka, boop, you're there. So Indra was impressed. He said, wow, you know, this guy together. The place was neat and clean and together. Had all these arrangements. Indra does it a different way. But even though he did it a different way, that Bhaskar Maharaj did a different way, he was impressed that it was working. You know, whatever, you know. ultimately what's not, each one may have their management style, every president has a different spin, but whatever works, that's what's important. So, Bhaskar Panaka, message of Bhaskar Maharaj, that message out that let them come. So Bhaskar Maharaj had an issue. Since he's a half-brother, he's a cousin brother with Indra. But he's on the wrong side of the family. He's on the Diti side, and he's on the Aditi side. So they never recognize, it's like you're like outcasts. So when he saw Indra, he said, you know the fact, and Indra offered, Jai Maharaj, Samrat, Emperor. He said, you know, the fact that you've come to see me, you're offering me, finally, the first time in my life, you're offering me respect as an equal, as a king. I'm so pleased that if you ask me for anything, even if you ask me to give you back the whole kingdom, I'll give it to you. All I wanted was recognition. You guys never recognized us. We were always the black sheep. I feel so good that you just recognized. Indra said, now look at, I'm not coming here to ask you for anything. This Brahmana, this child, this youth, came to me and asked me for some land. And I told him, I don't own anything anymore. It's all owned by Bhaskar Maharaj. He took everything from me. So I can't cheat. I can't give you something I don't have. If you want land, you have to talk to him. He wants 3 steps of land. So then Vamana does this thing, you know, and says, you just want 3 steps. Then he offers, I'll give you a whole planet. We have billions of planets. So which one? Take a planet. Why do you want 3 steps? Well, if I'm not going to be happy with 3 steps, I won't be happy with the planet. Well, you'll be some nice girl, get buried, you know, be a grihasta, have a good time, happy, peaceful life, doing your religious duties. I just want 3 steps of land. You know, so then he gets 3 steps. And then Vamanadeva jumps, you know, expands into Trivikram size, and then he takes 3 steps, lower planets, upper planets, middle planets, lower planets, takes all the 3 worlds. He says, no, thank you. You're a good sport. And Bhaskar, he was pretty amazed. You know, I just lost everything. By Vishnu took it. But he was quite impressed by it. So no, you're a good sport. I just took everything you have and you're still, you know, mellow about it. I'll give you, you can also ask something from me. What do you want from me? And then Bhaskar said, no, I'd like to go to your planet and stay with you and serve you. This was quite amazing what I just saw. And I have appreciation for you. I'd like to be with you. Okay. Free ticket. Take it. Take him back to home, back to Godhead. That's interesting. So he lost everything. But he made the best use of it also. So different, so this like devoted, you got an equal chance, but if Vishnu comes in, then it tilts the balance. So this is Bhaskar Maharaj, he had also became the Indra. Don't know exactly, I don't know if he gave all the reasons why, but usually Indra, because he sends his guru or something, he gets, without the guru's blessings, he gets weakened. So, the Avanti Brahmana, he's got detached. You know where Avanti is in India? Right, you're right. Ujjain is, ancient name is Avanti. Avantapuri. Avantapuri. It's one of the, I forget how many, there's six or eight, I think, Ashtapuri. Eight Puris, and so Avantapuri is one of them. I think it's eight, but it could be six or something. So it's one of the places where you can easily get back to Godhead. So now by Bhakti Churu Maharaj made a beautiful temple, a nice marble temple. We went there this year, earlier this year we had our national meetings there. They took us and showed us Sandapani Muni's ashram where Krishna learned all the Vedic arts and everything in 64 days. All Vedic knowledge in 64 days. Also, there's a Shiva temple there, which is very ancient. It's a very beautiful Shiva. Huh? Mahakaleshwar. You went there? Where's your birthplace? Hour and a half. Yeah, Indore. So, this Avanti, this Brahmana comes from Avanti, from Ujjain. It's mentioned here in the Bhagavatam, an ancient Brahmin. And he took Tridandi Sannyas, so we also following in the footsteps. We chant this prayer of the Avanti Brahmana when he took Sannyas. Itang sastaya pratmanistam adyasitam purva tamaya mahadbhya ahantarishyami durantaparam tamomo kundangri nisheva eva. This all the brahmanas, all the sannyasis, the Tridandi sannyasis, they follow Lord Chaitanya used to chant this. Itang sastaya pratmanistam. I'm following this path of transcendence. Itang sastaya paratmanistam adhyasana purvatamaya mahadhir, which has been followed by many great souls in the past. Itang sastaya paratma. Itang sastaya paratma. Hangtarishami Dharamtaparam, but it's difficult to cross over this ocean of birth and death, but I'm gonna cross it over. I'm gonna cross over it. Mukunda Eva Viseva Eva. By serving Mukunda, the giver of liberation, by serving Krishna. So this is the determination to practice devotional service, to get over the ocean of birth and death through devotional service. Lord Chaitanya liked this prayer. The story here, the Avanti Brahmana, is in the Bhagavatam. So he wants to live a simple life, simple living, high thinking, remain satisfied with the self. So he's happy that he's detached, though. I have a few copies of this book, Vrindavani Bhajan, that somebody wants. I translated Prabhupada's poems into English and gave a commentary. It's already finished? All finished, one day. cookbook for this. Low fat cookbook. All the books are gone.
It's only about five each.
Maybe you have a few more? Should order some more. Some people have it. You can get it. Who, you have a copy?
I don't want a copy.
You got it on behalf of the temple or your own behalf? Detached. So we should follow Prabhupada's footsteps, Avanti Brahmana's footsteps. Any questions? Yes? It looks like the Avanti Brahmana got burnt out. Theft, violence, speaking lies, duplicity, lust, anger, possessing, pride, quarreling, enmity, faithfulness, faithlessness, envy, dangers caused by women, gambling, and intoxication are the 15 undesirable qualities that contaminate men because of greed for wealth. Looks like he went through all of this. Although these qualities are undesirable, men falsely ascribe value to them. One desiring to achieve the real benefit of life should therefore remain aloof from the undesirable material wealth. In earning, attaining, increasing, protection, expense, loss, and enjoyment of wealth, all men experience great labor, fear, anxiety, and delusion. Whatever pure fame is possessed by the famous, and whatever praiseworthy qualities are found in the virtuous, are destroyed by even a small amount of greed. Just as one's attractive physical beauty is ruined by a trace of white leprosy. Generally, the wealth of misers never allows them any happiness. In this life, it causes their self-torment. When they die, it sends them to hell. The Brahmana spoke as follows, "Oh, what great misfortune. I have simply tormented myself uselessly, struggling so hard for money that was not even intended for religiosity or material enjoyment." He was just a miser. He lost his wealth to his relatives, some by thieves, some by the whims of providence, some by the effects of time, some by ordinary wealth, and some by government authorities. Pay your taxes now! Finally, when his property was completely lost, he who never engaged in religiosity or sense enjoyment became ignored by his family members. Thus he began to feel unbearable anxiety. Having lost all his wealth, he felt great pain and lamentation. His throat choked up with tears, and he meditated for a long time on his fortune. Then a powerful feeling of renunciation came over him. Some sukriti he had, right? Brahmana spoke, "Oh, what great misfortune. I have simply tormented myself uselessly, struggling so hard for money that not even intended for religiosity or material enjoyment." Second, then we get all these realizations. He wasn't even enjoying what he could enjoy. Lusty, greedy, and prone to anger. sharp arrows that pierce the heart don't hurt as much as the harsh, insulting words of uncivilized that he got this renunciation. That's special mercy, isn't it? Cause this mercy. Some people want money to build temples and do religious activities, do yagyas. And some want money for sense gratification. He just wanted money out of greed, because he didn't give sense gratification to his family members. They didn't like him. Nobody liked him. And because he didn't do religious activities, his forefathers abandoned him. He's like a yaksha guarding his money. What Sukriti had, why he got the mercy. When he lost everything and everyone started mistreating him. It's another story, that the glories of the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where there was a guy like that. He was, I don't know if he's a brahmana, but he was a businessman. But he didn't use his money for pious activity, didn't use it for sense gratification, he just buried it. His family was, didn't even know where the money was. And then suddenly got a heart attack and died. When he went to Yamaraj, Yamaraj says, you're a weird guy, you know. You just want to, you're so attached to your money. You can become a snake and guard your money. So he became a cobra living in a hole next to his money buried in the ground. Anybody try to get it, he'd bite them. But then after about a year, somehow he was given a human intelligence. And then he realized, like, when I really blew it. What am I doing sitting here? I was a rich guy, and now I'm sitting in a hole, I'm a snake. So he appeared to his four sons, told him, get me out of this hellish condition, I'm a snake now guarding my money. And then I'll save you. I'll give you all my, we'll divide the money equally. So one brother was just wondering, what can we do to save our father? Another brother was totally distressed. Oh, my father became a snake. And then the fourth brother really wanted to help the father. Let's do something to help him. After all, he helped us once. He's our father. But the fourth one was really greedy after the money. So he made a plan. He said, if I get one day, I think I know where my father buried the money, I can get it, take it all for myself. So he said, that's a good idea. Let's think about this for one day. Come here tomorrow and come up with a plan for our father. So he said, I get this one day. He went to the midnight, woke up his wife, they went together with shovels and hoes. He started digging. Came out. You are just like me, greedy. I thought I'm going to bite you and kill you. No, Daddy, I was just looking for you. You just wanted the money. No, I don't want the money. No. I just wanted to help you. You said to help you. I want to talk to you. How can we help you? We did all the pujas and sradhas and everything. Well, you did. I was so sinful, it wasn't good enough. You want to save me, have someone read the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita and offer the benefit to me. That will save me. I should do it on my Shraddh ceremony day, my anniversary of my death. So he also was a miser. Sometimes misers get the mercy on the way. Maybe in a previous life they weren't so miserly. They did some seva, some causes mercy.